debate to a localized issue, meaning whatever the issue happens to be, you contain it so you just don't let it get dragged further down the road where people could have a bigger picture in their minds of what's really going on, then you can push these things through. It's largely how the education agenda was rammed through over the years.
Exactly.
And that's what we see happening before us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you don't have to go far to find any of this information. It's just that the media are generally silent about it. They don't seem to talk very much.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Any closing thoughts? We're coming down. We need to give your website again. And where do you think we're headed right now?
Well, I think that things are happening quickly. I haven't ever done a study on this in particular, but people identify this quickly, that pretty easily, that things are happening more frequently than they did 20 years ago. In other words, what took 10 years to mature 50 years ago now takes about 10 months, or maybe 5 months. It's like a logarithmic type of a thing where things are increasing in speed the way they happen. Looking back over the last 10 years and just seeing what radical progress has been made towards the globalization process, the next 10 years are probably going to be an order of magnitude higher than that. That's pretty scary considering what we know has already happened. My guess is that the treaties that will solidify North America, Mexico, United States, and Canada, my guess is those are going to be fully floated within 18 months to 24 months. I don't like the thought of that, but I think that's about where we are right now.
I think you're really realistic about that.
One of the things that leads me to think that way is there's an increasing amount of writing coming out of think tanks right now about the Amero and about unifying the currency. I also see the impunity of our President Bush to not close the Mexican border. This is more than just stubborn resistance, I think, at this point. And people, you know, have been just scratching their head over the, you know, what on earth is going on? Why don't they just close the Mexican border? Why don't they close the Canadian border, at least tighten it up, so the terrorists can't get in? That is totally antithetic to globalism. They have to keep those borders open.
The goal is to get rid of the borders.
That's right.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of the border altogether. And I think right now, just look at the way the administration is acting towards a border issue right now. They've almost come to the point where they're just about ready to say, what you say does not matter anymore. What's going to happen is this, X, Y, Z. This is what's going to happen, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. It has to be this way. There'll be such a crisis arise from it, they have to open the borders. They'll give some ostensible reason why they must be opened. And at that point, the treaties, CAFTA and NAFTA, will be immediately brought to the forefront. The Amero will be slipping in on its back to be a new currency so that we can conduct trade with each other, etc. And at that point, you know, we'll be sucked into the global system whether we want to or not.
I think the Amero has to come about because right now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, which we've spent a lot of time on it here today, the dollar is being destroyed as we watch.
Yeah.
Just to be able to save Social Security, among other things. And now that Bernanke's going to be in, you can expect him to be dropping this set of helicopters. So that means massive inflation. So they're going to need a substitute revised currency sooner or later. And invariably, the cost of that is always, during the time of exchange into the new currency, the cost of whatever was tragically accumulated under the previous one is rolled off onto the taxpayer as well. That's what typically happens there. But it's amazing how few people have ever heard of the Amero, and yet it's already being discussed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Welcome, this is Brent. Welcome to Freedom 21 Radio. This is Brent Duncan. I'm very glad to be able to have this opportunity to fill in for Michael Shaw this evening. I am broadcasting to you live from the Monterey Bay, and we'd like to thank Dr. Stan for allowing us to broadcast from the Radio Liberty Studios, high atop Monterey Bay. Tonight we have an exciting evening. We're going to be talking later with, talking a little bit with Karen England, who is the executive director for the Capital Resource Institute. We're going to be talking about some very important issues that affect
not only people here in California, but people around the nation. That we're going to be asking some important questions like, should parents have a right to know whether their child is having a major medical procedure rather than attending school? Should a principal be able to fire a predatory or incompetent teacher? Or should tax-funded political advocacy groups be able to take a person's pay to promote interests of the group, even when those interests are against the values of that person? Very important issues that really the answers might seem shocking to parents and citizens in California, especially to parents who have children in the California government school system, which is why these are central issues that are being debated today by Californians as we prepare for a special election this next week. But the important thing to realize is these aren't just issues that affect us here in California, but they affect all of our listeners out in the Radio Liberty network, including our listeners in New York, Chicago, Walla Walla, Washington, Wenatchee, Washington, Yakima, Moses Lake, Spokane, Flint, Albany, Utica, Fort Wayne, an impressive broadcast network here. But what we're going to be doing is taking a look at how the California airwaves are actually being blasted today with propaganda that justifies the justifies a status quo in the California government school systems that are essentially promoting special interests over family autonomy. Those of you who have heard me before know that there are some important issues to me, especially related to the family autonomy issue, and that is, first starting out with where we are here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. We have very important issues that we've discussed many times before that basically we as parents have been allowing a government-mandated educational system to co-opt parental authority over their children. Now, the consequences of this are that parents remain responsible for the children, but the state is gaining increasing authority over how the children are educated and how children are raised. This leads to a weakened family unit and is contributing to a degraded society. Now, preparing our children to take full advantage of the opportunity available in a free society, in my opinion, is a key responsibility of parenthood. Now, to successfully exercise our responsibilities as parents, we must be able to retain authority over our children. And as government schools and agencies and special interest groups work together to exercise increasing authority over our children, and thereby the family, parents must exercise constant vigilance to protect their family autonomy. Which brings us to the important issues we have here in the election. We have Proposition 73, which is basically saying that parents have no right to know whether their children are having major medical procedures while they're at school. We'll be right back.
Educational schools turning out leaders of the like this lot been taught and the
your minds and change them. By the time you've rearranged them, they won't even know how to spell it. Day, so take it with you. Here's the Prozac, and don't forget your radio. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're sevens are real close. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. You gotta turn the page. Give them a real education. Get them off the medication. Now they don't learn much about history, about the republic or democracy. Don't believe the earth is dying, yes, Marie. The magic indoctrination. Please don't cooperate in the interrogation. We'd like to listen some more about your friends and your family. We're making their bodies, joining up with a gang. Many sociopaths pulling out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution. They're being set up just to be knocked down. Rooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money brought you. Celebrate with a revolution. So wake up, folks. Things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare. The end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. It's not about education, it's about behavior modification. Collectivist thought and work in the whole way. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. Gotta turn the page. Give them a real education.
Well, thank you, Barbecue Bob, for doing an excellent setup. That seems like it's our theme show, our theme song for the evening, as we're talking about very important family autonomy issues, specifically going into the next phase of our discussion tonight, where we're asking the question whether parents have a right to know whether their children is having a major medical procedure rather than attending school. With us tonight, we have Karen England, who is the executive director of the Capital Resource Institute. Are you with us, Karen?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Let me give the listeners a little bit of background on you, Karen, and you can correct me where I'm wrong. But Karen is a staunch defender of family values. She's been very active in issues to preserve the family. She believes that the family is the society's most important unit, and she's worked diligently as the executive director with the Capital Resource Institute since 1999. She has worked with many groups, family value groups, work against or to expose a lot of the anti-family policies that we're finding in the schools and in the government. Is that correct, Karen?
Well, yes. I would never correct the host. So, yes, it's all correct.
Could you explain to me what, I'm looking at your bio here, of course, and a couple of things that I hope you can help us to understand and lay the groundwork where we're going. When you're talking about family values, can you teach us what that means?
Well, for us, it's the traditional family, and that is, marriage between one man, one woman. We work quite a bit in parental rights, hence why I'm on the show tonight over mm-hmm. Proposition 73. Mm-hmm. And so we're, especially in California, finding more and more that government's intrusion on family and religious freedom. And so we're a public policy group that works to keep traditional family values and the traditional family intact.
Okay. Can you tell me, you had mentioned Proposition 73. which actually, could you summarize for us what that's all about?
Well, Proposition 73 would mandate that at least one parent be notified before 48 hours before a minor daughter receives an abortion. And it's a very simple, straightforward, common sense initiative. It is a constitutional amendment because we did have an activist court here in California overturn a law that had been put in place 10 years ago that was even far more reaching. It was consent. It was notification and consent. And so as a result, we're having to get this constitutional amendment in order to restore parental rights. And so instead of strangers making medical decisions with our children, we actually believe this is a real crazy idea. Parents should be the ones making those decisions with their daughters.
Why do you think it's important that Proposition 73 be passed in California? And why is this an important issue for people outside of the state also?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, unlike Las Vegas, what happens in California doesn't stay in California. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that people pay attention to what's going on in California. And, you know, if we can stop it here, and it's the kind of thing that if, you know, California does it, I think it'll embolden other states to do it as well, and other pro-family organizations if we can get this passed in California. And I think it's very important because it's a statement as to what we feel the proper role of government is and what the people feel the proper role of the family is. And I firmly believe it belongs with parents and only parents to be making medical decisions for their children. Certainly not a 13-year-old making this decision with a stranger and excluding the parents from that picture.
Well, I've been looking at, actually, the California airways are, of course, barraged. There's a media blitz going on right now with backing from a lot of special interest groups opposing Proposition 73. And I can tell you, just look at, from a marketer's perspective, taking a look at what they're doing, they have some extremely slick advertising, very strong emotional appeals. Say, for example, just so you go to Planned Parenthood website, and there's a line from a parent saying, "If she can't come to me, I just want to keep her safe." How do you respond to something like that?
Well, I've been doing a lot of debates with Planned Parenthood on talk radio, and here's how I respond to it. I'm a mother of two teenage girls, and the safest place for my daughters is with me, not with the head of Planned Parenthood and not in a Planned Parenthood clinic. And I find it quite offensive that anyone would infer that it's safer for my daughter, my youngest at home is 16, for her to make any sort of medical decision with anyone other than me. I find that highly offensive. And so this idea that parents are the enemy and that they can just be substituted by some stranger in a clinic is absurd to me, and I find it offensive.
Well, yeah, you bring up some interesting points, and one of the things about Proposition 73, of course, it's focusing on parent notification about a child's abortion. But this parent, but it's not necessarily an issue about abortion. It's an issue about parent notification, parent involvement, family autonomy, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if I'm notified, let's just use me as an example in theory, if I'm notified that my daughter sought an abortion and I talk to her and say, "I don't want you to go get this," even if I was to call that doctor and say, "I don't want you to give my daughter this abortion," if she shows up after the waiting period to that same doctor, an abortion will be performed. So it really is only notifying. It doesn't prohibit anyone, including my own daughter, from having an abortion. It just means that I'll know she was pregnant and I'll know that she was seeking an abortion. So if by chance, you know, 4 days later she is sick, I can put two and two together, or hopefully she'll come to me and we'll talk about it and we'll work through it together. But even if the child wants to go against the parents, at least the parents know what's going on. Yeah. And most of the time, these young teenage girls, the parents don't know she's sexually active. So that's the other thing. You know what? They can step in and realize, wow, my daughter's sexually active, and who's this taking place with? And, you know, over 70% of the time, it's with an older male that's at least 22.6 years of age. And mm-hmm. So, you know, parents can kind of step in that situation and find out what's going on. So it's a kind of a win-win all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at here's a quote from the detractors, again going to the
actually this is the No on Proposition 73 organization, where they actually, their talking points. You know, let me throw out a couple of their talking points. I'd like to hear how you respond to them. First, they say parental notification laws don't protect teens. They hurt teens. Now, just a little bit of background on me. The reason why I have a lot of difficulty with that is because that addresses issues that we've had to face in our own local school districts, where we had situations where they were taking our children out of classes and taking them into basically indoctrination programs without our notice. Say, for example, there was one time at our local high school that they took 300 kids out of school for 2 days without telling the parents and put them through these team building, diversity training, really psychologically intense programs that are designed to actually break down the child's individual will and get them to conform to whatever collective vision that the school had. In this case, it was an organization called, or it was a program called Breaking Down the Walls, where they brought in a diversity consultant and spent two days with the students, and a lot of the students came out saying it was a life-changing experience for them. Now, my issue with that is, why weren't the parents notified?
Right.
If my child's going to have a life-changing experience at school, why wasn't I told about it? And do I have a right to say it? Should I know about it? And here I'm seeing where they're saying, no, the parents shouldn't be notified because it wouldn't have protected the teens, because the school wouldn't, or the special interest group or whatever group was involved with it, wasn't going to be able to do what they wanted to do with the children. But going on to what they say that mandatory notification laws have resulted in teens resorting to dangerous measures, and this is where they get into the emotional appeals. They start throwing out back alley abortions, self-inflicted abortions, coat hangers, etc., etc. You're just like, blood's going to flow in the streets if parents are notified. How do you address that kind of emotional appeal?
Well, in all honesty, it's nothing but lies, and it really is false. It's the tactic they are having to resort to, because there is not one credible study out of all of the states, and there's more than 34 that have parental involvement laws, that show any of those. None of it shows that kids are going, you know, over the border to get abortions. It doesn't show that kids are giving, you know, themselves abortions. No credible study, and we've looked at them all. And even the other side is starting to agree on the radio. You know, they want to cite one, but then when we debunk it, showing that, you know, exposing it, that there are no studies that show that. As a matter of fact, what it shows is when you involve the parent, abortions and teen pregnancies go down about 25%, and the, you know, incident of being able to get follow-up care increases. And so it's just a false argument. They are so committed to abortion on demand anytime, that they are willing to continue to exclude parents from the process. And, you know, again, as a mom, you know, I just find it offensive that they think I'm the enemy and they need to save my daughter from me, which couldn't be further from the truth. They do not even know my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing, unless music's coming up for the break here, and let me have you think about this one comment and come back with a response to that, where they actually say that Proposition 73 puts teens in danger. They say that mandatory notification laws may sound good, but in the real world, they say, they put teenagers in danger. Of course, there's no research to back that up, but they say that this law puts vulnerable teenagers in harm's way. It forces them to go to court and try to navigate an overcrowded and complicated judicial system. Teens don't need a judge, they need a counselor. And when we come back, can you address that for us, Karen?
Yes, I can.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back. This is Freedom 21 Radio on the Radio Liberty Network. I'm Brent Duncan. We'll be right back.
Join your friends. After spearheading efforts to implement the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda in Santa Cruz, California, Congressman Sam Farr wrote,
I am writing to congratulate you, the Advisory Board, and the Action Santa Cruz County Coalition for completing the local Agenda 21 Action Plan.
Congressman Sampar then wrote,
"The local Agenda 21 Action Plan not only has local significance, it also will have regional and national impacts. As you know, the President's Council on Sustainable Development is beginning Phase 3 of its work, with an emphasis on sustainable communities."
Sampar continued,
"I have been spearheading a similar effort to develop a process of sustainable development planning for the entire region."
So why does Sampar now say he's never heard of United Nations Agenda 21?
Yes, Congressman Farr, I'd like to I am Daniel Beckett. I'd like your comments on the United Nations Agenda 21 program that you're implementing here. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you endorsed it, sir. I have your paperwork.
United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda 21. If there's nothing to hide, why does Sam now deny it? This has been a public service question posed by Freedom 21 Santa Cruz at freedom21santacruz.net, inviting you to advance the cause of freedom in the 21st century. For more information about how you can advance the cause of freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Thank you, Barbecue Bob. This is Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Radio. We are talking with Karen England, asking the question or addressing the question of whether children should be allowed to, whether parents should be notified whether if their children are going to be having major medical procedures while they are at school. And when we left, we were talking about Proposition 73 and how opponents to Proposition 73 actually say that it puts teens in danger. Karen, can you tell us why that is not the case?
Well, I don't even know where they get this idea that it actually puts teens in danger to involve their parents. But I will, they talk about this complicated, that you're throwing them into this complicated court system. And the couple of responses I have to that, first is, on one hand they say, oh, they can't navigate the court system, and on the other hand they say they're either, going to go down to Mexico and get the abortion or figure out how to do a self-abortion. So they're smart enough to do that, but they're not smart enough to find out where their local courthouse is. Planned Parenthood prides themselves on their good counseling. and the judicial bypass for the kids that need it, that come from abusive homes, it's simply a matter of filling out a form and literally walking privately before a judge. So this idea that they're walking the halls of a courthouse, you know, and can't get help is totally false, and again, more campaign rhetoric and tactics that they're using. You know, they often end their quotes and their statements with, you know, kids need a counselor. Well, the very best counselor for kids happen to be their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they fail to see, is that parents are not the enemy, that parents actually are the ones who are care for the kids and need to be the ones, again, making this decision. And it's just offensive as a mom that they keep saying, I'm the enemy and they need to save these kids from me, that they're more in danger with me, my own child is, than with, again, a stranger at a clinic who actually profits from mm-hmm. the procedure.
Yeah, good point. Can you tell me what is the current law? So what is the proposition trying to correct?
Well, the current law allows our minors to have abortions without any sort of notification consent. But in addition to that, in California, we also have another policy that, and most school districts follow this, that says our children can be at school, they can check themselves out for confidential medical services, and mm-hmm. underneath that can be suicide counseling, drug counseling, anything reproductive, abortion, being, you know, treatment for STDs, etc. They can check themselves out for confidential medical services. The school will hide that information from the parents, and then, you know, kid leaves math class, has an abortion, comes back, parent thinks they were at school all day, and no one knows. And so California is a little compounded in that not only do we have to worry about our kids, you know, running around and doing these kinds of things, you know, on the weekends or, you know, when they're under our care, but we have to worry about the schools being in this conspiracy against us as well, because most school districts are allowing this to take place in the school day when you think your daughters are at school. And so this would change that as far as abortion goes, and it would say that, you know, again, you will be notified if your daughter is seeking an abortion. So that's very important for parents to know, and especially because a lot of these girls, you know, are 13, 14, 15 years old, and it's, you know, they're being coerced into, you know, the relationship usually in the first place. It's usually an older male, and someone's got to step in and stop this, you know, predator from continuing to go after our young girls.
Yeah. So when you say minor, you're saying children as young as 13 years old.
Oh, it could be under 13. It could be 12, 11.
12 years old.
Yeah.
So 12 years old. What is that, sixth grade?
Yes.
Okay, so I drop off my kid in elementary school.
It's actually seventh grade, six, seven.
Yeah. Okay, so I drop off my child at junior high school or elementary school, and counselor. How does it work? What do they do?
Well, it depends, and basically the law allows them. I mean, I was quite. I wouldn't have checked myself out for confidential medical services, but I would have used it to get out of math class. And you just. You just assert, hey, I'm leaving. If your school has a policy that allows you, and most schools do, you say, I need to be excused for confidential medical services. And technically, if the policy allows that, you really can't ask me any questions because you've given me confidentiality. You know, if my parents can't know, you certainly don't have the right to know. And so, depending on where they're going or what they're doing, I know here, I live in Roseville, California, and we've changed the local school district policy to be parent-friendly, but prior to that, the school nurse talked about how, you know, the kids were going down to Kaiser on a regular basis, and, you know, they check themselves out, and they go get their abortion or get put on Ritalin or go to their suicide counseling, and then they return a couple hours later, and the school acts as if they were there all day, and the parent has absolutely no idea. And they don't, you know, I don't know if a school employee took them. I don't know if an older boy took
them. We'll pick this up right after the break in about 3 minutes. We're out. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Radio. And we are talking with Karen England, asking the question whether parents have the right to know whether their children are having abortions while they're at school. Karen, you still with us? Well, we need to pick Karen back up. what we've been discussing is Prop 73 and how parents must have the right to be notified, is what Proposition 73 is saying. They must have the right to be notified and participate in the most important decision that a teenage daughter can make, and that is the decision to have an abortion. Now, under the current law, girls as young as 13 can have abortions without parental notification. Given parents, and now, if we can give parents the right to protect the health and safety of their, actually, 73 tries to give parents the right to protect the health and safety of their teenage daughters. Now, of course, the interesting things that are going on with Prop 73 at this time, there's a survey, a recent poll that just came out from the Public Policy Institute of California, which is showing that there's 49% of Californians, of likely voters, who are for it, and 40% who are against it, 48% who are against it. So the those who are for it need to really make sure they get out the vote, because what's going to be happening, according to Steve Smith, the campaign manager for No on 73, says that, of course, they are encouraged by the numbers and believe that they mean that the voters are basically starting to fall for or accept the marketing. He says, of course, all parents want to be involved in their daughter's lives, but no new law can force family communication. But what they're banking on is a lot of commercials and advertisements, very slick advertisements that are coming out starting Thursday, actually this last week, launching television ads in 5 commercial markets, including Los Angeles and the Bay Area. Are we back?
Can you hear me now?
Okay, Karen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're there. Thank you. We're having some technical difficulties in the studio here. I think we have them resolved. I have Karen back.
Yes, you do.
And we are on the air.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move
forward.
I'll
behave myself then.
So, Karen, you can you tell us a little bit about, before we go on with this discussion, can you tell us a little bit about your organization, the Yes on 73, and also a little bit about the Capital
Resource Institute.
Capital Resource Institute, thank you.
Okay. Capital Resource Institute, we've been around since 1987. We're a pro-family public policy group. We work on educating voters, trying to get your average citizen involved in government, whether it's at your city council, in the state legislature. We keep you informed. We do a weekly email as to the different information, you know, what's going on around the state. We're a resource to parents, especially in the parental rights area. So that's my day job. But I'm actually taking a week vacation in order to volunteer for the campaign Yes on 73. And the website for that is parentsfor73.com. I'm sorry, I was getting my two websites mixed up there. So parentsfor73.com, and that's where you can go, sign up, donate, volunteer to help get the vote out between now and October or November 8th.
Okay, and that is a .com, not a .org?
Yes, that one's a .com.
Okay.
Capitalresource.org is my day job. And I would encourage people to go there. You can sign up for our emails. We give great information, great resources on pretty much everything that's going on in California, culturally, socially, and legislatively.
Outstanding. Please make sure, listeners, make sure you visit those websites, find out what's going on, and also to find out, especially to find out what's going on with this election this next week. Very important issues. Now, and it sounds like, Karen, you are just, you're on the front lines of this battle.
Well, I'm trying to be. I believe this is very, very important for California to restore parental rights. I think this is a basic, fundamental right. I think most parents don't even know that this is the case, that their kids can go get this done. I mean, our kids aren't allowed to have an aspirin. My daughter can't play soccer. They can't go on field trips without, you know, our parental involvement, yet they can go have a major surgery without us knowing.
Wow. And then, excuse me. Now, the opponents are saying that notifying a parent or guardian will create barriers between young girls and proper medical care. Do you think that parental notification will keep these girls safer?
That is absolutely, again, more rhetoric, and it's ridiculous to think that we don't want our kids healthy and safe. It's actually the parents that are going to know the medical history. And if the parents still choose to do the have the daughter have the abortion, it's the parents that actually can go through the process of selecting a doctor and a clinic that's safe and a doctor that will know family history. It's crazy to think that some stranger who doesn't know my 13 or 14-year-old daughter's medical history would be the one to make those decisions and claim that that's safe. It doesn't. Right now, there's a barrier that keeps kids from telling parents because it's easy not to tell them right now. As a matter of fact, Planned Parenthood, I would argue, doesn't encourage you to tell your parents. And as a result, our kids are having abortions, and we have no idea that they're going through it. And in addition to the physical harm that does and can do, they're also at risk psychologically for any emotional, after effects that they have after they go through with this. And then to heap on top of it the fact that they've, just lied to their parents about something so major and are walking through it alone and dealing with all of those feelings that you're already dealing with as a teenager. Again, mine's 16, so, 16-year-old girls have a lot of feelings they're dealing with. They don't need the guilt of lying to the parents and having an abortion and walking through that alone.
Let me ask you this. Do you know of a family that has had this happen to them?
Oh, there's, one of the gals on the campaign actually got a call after her daughter was being rushed to the emergency room, had had an abortion the day before, I think the morning of. And I can't tell you, as I do talk radio, caller after caller has some sort of a story, whether it was 10 years ago or, just somewhat recently. It's happening so frequently. Here in my town, one girl, the reason the school board member changed the policy to include parents, he found out that one girl at one high school had 2 abortions during the school day without the parent even knowing. I live in a very conservative area. Congressman Hill is my congressman, and this is, going on at our neighborhood school. And it's happening so much more frequently than parents really know because it's hidden from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, people, the other argument that Planned Parenthood and the people opposed to parents being involved keep citing is this idea that, well, if you have a good relationship with your kids. And I argue it's exactly a lot of those relationships. Your kids, if you have a good relationship, they don't want to disappoint you. And so it's not that you're being a bad parent that they don't want to tell you. It's because they love you and don't want to hurt you. And even our good kids, I know because we're on the last of 4, good kids make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing we need to do is compound it with another bad decision.
Yeah. I know. This is a situation that seems to be so common that it's actually even made its way into the teen angst movies.
Yeah.
And I personally know of a couple of young girls, 15 and 16 years old, who were actually, their teachers, who were the fathers of the children, actually drove them to the clinics.
Yeah, and I don't know how often that's, I don't know if I'm just noticing it more or because of the media, but a lot more of this assault with teacher-student that's going on. And, you know, how much of this is going on that we don't know because it's covered up?
Yeah, and these situations I'm telling you about are situations that happened decades ago.
Yeah.
This isn't new.
Yeah,
these are things that happened when I was in high school.
Right.
And I'm noticing that it's happening more and more. I of course went to high school down in the Los Angeles area, and so you know things that happened. It was a pretty advanced area as far as like gangs and sex and drugs and the like, and so we saw a lot of stuff. But I'm seeing it just exploding today, and that parents aren't allowed it's being hidden from parents. What I've seen happen in those cases is it actually destroyed those families and it destroyed those girls. Now I don't know what kind of research has gone into justifying why parents shouldn't be notified, but just through the limited experience I have with it, it seems to me like if parents are notified and they do bring in some sort of an intervention or a counselor, somebody to help the child notify the parents and to help the families adjust to the situation, that it would go much further in helping to develop that child and to develop that family than to just have the child have this massive secret that causes a great divide in their own emotions, in their own psyches, and in their own families. What do you think of that?
Well, absolutely. And again, it goes back to this argument. They think, the other side thinks parents are the enemy, and I just don't. I think parents are the ones. And, you know, most parents think about it. You know, if you've got kids, how many times, or even as a kid, I would think, oh, my dad's going to kill me, or oh, my mom's going to kill me. Were they really? No. Was I going to get in trouble? Maybe. Did I deserve to be in trouble? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this idea that, you know, parents, because kids can't or won't talk to their parents, well, you know what? My daughter, when she gets a low grade report, won't tell me unless I'm going to open up the mail and get a low grade report,
mm-hmm.
because it's uncomfortable. And so, you know, the majority of parents and the majority of kids can, and if they were encouraged at all, and I think this is exactly what Proposition 73 does, is it will help them notify and help them confront a tough issue that a lot of them want to tell their parents, they just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go into the clinic and they're told, you don't need to, let's just whisk you in and get you an abortion,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of an easy way out. But what they really want is help telling their parents.
Excellent point. I don't know if you heard when we lost you earlier in the show. I was going over a recent poll that showed that really it's almost 50-50 here in California. For 49% for Proposition 73, 48% against. I find it very interesting to look at the list of those who are against it. Who is opposed to this?
Well, Planned Parenthood's opposed to it. Your National Organization for Women, you know, ACLU, basically the same people that, you know, aren't family friendly to begin with, that
mm-hmm.
really believe very different things than Capital Research Institute would believe about the family and who's really in control. They're, interestingly enough, the same people who don't want, you know, soda pop in school and, you know, our daughters to go to tanning booths without parental permission, but
mm-hmm.
for some reason abortion is okay. So it's basically the far, far left, because in the Survey USA that was done, 46% of pro-choice people are for Proposition 73.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just the fringe of the far left that is against letting parents know. And so it's really people who have a vested and a financial interest in keeping things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side is, you know, everyday moms and dads, people, you know, we don't get taxpayer funds like Planned Parenthood does. And
mm-hmm.
so it's basically, you know, the pro-family movement that has picked this up and said, no, parents are important and they're the ones in support of this.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting looking at this list of who's against it, because in our own community, when we ran into similar issues in our school district, I was very careful to not stand up and say, you can't do that. That what I wanted to do was say, I'm not going to tell you what you can't do. I'm just telling you that if you're going to do something with my child that's of a controversial nature, that you tell me about it.
Right.
And let me have access to the curriculum.
Right.
So we can discuss this as
right.
a family in our homes. And just that was enough to bring out hordes of special interest groups, and it's the same groups that I see on this list.
They want to parent your children for you.
Oh yeah, it's like some of the interesting people just that are actually on the Planned Parenthood website. Of course, echoing what you said, Civil Liberties Union, California Democratic Party, California Federation of Teachers. So the unions. Catholics for Free Choice. No, there's a story behind that one.
Yeah.
Feminist Majority Foundation, National Abortion Federation, of course, Planned Parenthood, Green Party of Monterey.
You don't get any more green than that, do you?
My best buddies, yeah. Alice B. Toklas, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transvestite, Democratic Club of San Francisco. Code Pink, Sierra Club. Interesting. Lesbians
has a lot to do with environment, doesn't it?
Yeah, food not bombs.
Yes.
Sex workers outreach project. Okay, so interesting list of people who are opposed to this and who are very actively opposed to this. Now, of course, they also have the Anti-Defamation League, Asian American Public Policy Institute. It's very interesting taking a look at these.
They aren't family friendly folks.
No, they are not. And I think it's important that we take a look at, as parents, at what's happening in our schools, be aware of what's going on in the schools. Interestingly enough, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it illegal for minors to engage in sex in California?
Yes, it is. It's a misdemeanor, and then if it is with an adult or a 3-year age difference, then it's statutory rape.
And yet, here we are. Helping these children to get abortions in our
absolutely.
Schools. We're going to be right back after these messages with Karen England. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Radio.
You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic.
To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. I'm Brent Duncan, filling in for Michael Shaw. We are talking with Karen England about Prop 73, an important initiative here in California that actually just does something very simple, requires parental consent for a child to have an abortion. It's been a very illuminating hour with you, Karen. I really appreciate your being with us. Can you give us a wrap on what you think we need to be doing as parents to advocate for our children in the public schools?
Well, yes, you need to be very involved. And the first thing you need to do is find out what your local school district policy is on confidential medical services. There's a lot of proactive things that you can be doing at the local school board level, enacting, you know, a lot of our rights as parents have been taken away by our liberal legislature, but they can be restored at the local level. And so
you're saying even if it's a state law, even if state constitution allows a child to have an abortion while at school without parent notification, that parents can still work at the local level to change?
Well, on this one, the law allows you discretion either way, but
okay.
For instance, our rights have been taken away as far as sex ed curriculum, it can be restored at the local level. Just because the law says you don't have to tell the parents or don't have to opt in doesn't mean a local school district can't have a policy that's opt-in. So there's a lot that you can do as a parent at the local level to restore your rights locally. But on Proposition 73, you need to make sure that you vote, your neighbors vote, everyone in your church is voting, if you go to church, soccer field, that they're voting, and they're voting yes on 73.
And, one of the things that we've done here, we've found that in our local school districts here in Santa Cruz County, which tends to be sort of ground zero for a lot of these things, because we sort of have this global citizen development mechanism that's been integrated into our school systems by a lot of special interest groups. Interestingly enough, they seem to be the same special interest groups that are opposing Proposition 73. And we found that it's been a big challenge to get things like this passed locally. It ends up being there ends up being a lot of personal attacks against anybody who stands up and advocates for parent rights. Have you found that to be the case?
Well, yeah, I'd like to say, you know, I'd like to think that it's isolated over there in Santa Cruz because it is a little more left than where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say here, I travel a lot doing school board meetings. And that's part of why I have a passion for what I do. I'm willing to stand up because, you know, they are just awful to the parents that go to these school boards and stand up. And I find that everywhere I go, it is very difficult to go up against the bureaucracy, and especially for a parent who's got kids in the district and don't want them to suffer because they stood up for what is right. But it's important that we do it. And it's got to start with you, and if it doesn't, then it may never get started. So I really believe in citizen activism and citizens getting involved. And if, you know, your listeners need help on an issue, please, you know, feel free to contact our office after the 8th of November. And I'm happy to come help out any way I can to try and make change at the local level.
That's exciting. And can you give us your website and your contact information again?
Website is www.capitalresource.org. Capitalresource.org. And then www.parentsfor73.com.
All right. And what I would like to encourage our listeners to do is work to build an alliance of parents, an organization, to educate parents about parental responsibility and authority and the risks to their families inherent to transferring parental authority to the state. Work to promote changes in the government education system that returns authority over children to parents. This is Brent Duncan for Freedom 21 Radio, broadcasting from the Radio Liberty Network, high atop overlooking the beautiful Monterey Bay. We'll be right back after these messages.
Views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
And don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, broadcasting to you from the Radio Liberty Network in Monterey. We are flying on a wing and a prayer here, and a little bit of scotch tape and a few paper clips, as far as I can tell. So hopefully we're coming to you live. Just want to make sure that you know where we're coming from. That your Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, is a freedom policy center that celebrates the principles of self-governance and individual liberty, which inspired the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, we're individuals who advance the freedom of all by promoting and strengthening the practice of constitutional administration in local, state, and national government. Now, the mission of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is to advance the principles of freedom to individuals, community, and government through public discourse, community outreach, and grassroots political activism. The key issues that Freedom 21 Santa Cruz addresses are constitutional government, private property, family sovereignty, and security and international implications. Which brings us to some where we are tonight. We are talking about family autonomy issues in the first hour. And we're going on a state level and a national level, as where we met with Karen England from the Capital Resource Institute and discussed Proposition 73, which focuses on whether parents should be notified about their children having abortions in schools. Now, there's a number of other issues that are coming up where parents are basically turning their children over to the state without even knowing it. Questions that we want to address in the second hour. With Chuck Walker, a local parent advocate or student advocate in the Scotts Valley school system. We are going to be... we will be right back.
Taught and the free. Gonna take this watch young minds are changing. By the time they rearrange them, they won't even know how to spell intent. It's a school day, so take it with you. Here's the Prozac, and don't forget your Ritalin. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's a school day in the USA. About this new age, we gotta turn the page, give them a real education, get them off the medication. Now they won't learn much about history, about the republic or democracy. The earth is dying, yes sirree. The magic indoctrination. Please go operate in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family. They're waking their bodies, joining up with a gang. They're sociopaths, coming out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution. They're being set up just to be knocked down. Classrooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money brought you. Something for the revolution. So wake up, folks. Things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare. The end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. It's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivists taught at work in the home we play. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. You gotta turn the page. Give them a real education. It's a school day.
Expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of either this station or its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The opinions I express are mine alone. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please participate. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-24-542-3789. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's get this show going.
Hopefully we're able to get this thing going. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, coming to you from Radio Liberty in Monterey Bay. We're happy to be back. We're discussing or asking ourselves some questions this next hour, should people be allowed to use classrooms to promote their personal interests to your children without your knowledge? Or when you send your child to school, do you want them to be educated or indoctrinated? Or is your child's teacher an academic or an activist? We're going to be exploring how some parents are wrestling with these issues in their school districts and attempt to discover how the battles these parents are fighting can help families around the nation understand how they can work to advance family autonomy in their schools and in their communities. One of the important issues that we've dealt with here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is that really the performance in the California education system consistently ranks the lowest in the nation. And here in Santa Cruz County, our government education system ranks below the average in the state. Now, key reason for this low performance is that many parents unwittingly surrender responsibility for their children's education to a state-sponsored education system that places social, political, and environmental indoctrination over basic education. Now, the consequence of this is that an increasing number of children aren't adequately prepared for advanced education or employment. They're limiting their ability to control, ability to contribute positively towards society through properly exercising their individual sovereignty. Now, this contributes to a degradation of society by building a self-perpetuating dependency class of people who are unable, unwilling, or unprepared to exercise their individual sovereignty. Yeah, along these lines, we have a special guest tonight by the name of Chuck Walker, who is on the front lines of this battle to advance academic excellence and parental rights in the schools. Are you with us, Chuck?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chuck.
Well, let's see. I've been in Scotts Valley now for about 10 years, and when I moved here, I immediately ran for city council and won a seat there, and I served as the mayor there for a year also. This last election cycle, I ran for an open board seat. Well, it wasn't an open board seat, but, well, it was a board seat that was up for election in the school board race here in Scotts Valley Unified. Three seats were up, and I won a seat there, too, and now I'm on the school board in Scotts Valley.
You got a seat on the school board in Scotts Valley. How have you found that? What's that been like?
Well, it's been an eye-opening experience. You know, what had happened is a group had approached me because I had been the mayor of Scotts Valley, and they thought I was electable, and it proved out to be true. But more importantly, the school board was experiencing a lack of, fiscal prudence. And they had been declared as a negative certification district, which was one of eight in California, which means that you're so unequipped to handle your finances that the County Office of Education takes over your financial responsibilities and dictates where that school board, that school district can spend its money. And that is kind of what I came in on. That was the campaign platform that all three of us came in on, and I had some financial experience, and I knew about government funding and how it all worked and the constructs of that. And I came in, I analyzed their budget and told them where I had questions, and they liked my answers, so they endorsed me.
Well, on the board, have you had any battles trying to get some budget responsibility in the schools?
Well, you know, right at the very end, coming up into the election, you know, the board members that were kind of under fire for it, they kind of straightened up their act, they redid their budget, they brought it more into line, but you know, it was too little too late, and so they booted them, basically, and said, you know, you guys are not good with our money, and, you know, we want these guys that seem to have been proving themselves. You know, when I was on the city council there in Scotts Valley, we never had a deficit budget, and we always managed, you know, very prudently the money that the people of the community entrusted us with.
Yeah, I sat in a budget meeting in our local school district where the vice principal stood up and said, "We have no money for books this next year," but then outlined a series of special interest programs for which they did have money.
Yeah,
and all sorts of programs that had very little to do with education, especially nothing to do with academics. It just seemed to be basically indoctrination programs, and they had lots of money for that.
Yeah,
interestingly enough, in our school district, when they were going negative in their budgets, they actually had a spending freeze. But even when they froze the spending, the deficits ballooned. They skyrocketed into the millions of dollar ranges, and even though they had frozen the budgets. And so the dirty little secret was that even without spending money, they were having to pay for teachers' benefits.
Right.
Those benefits tended to just grow exponentially, even taking money out of the classroom so they could pay the teachers' benefits. Have you seen that up there?
Yeah, I have, and you know, the negotiations for that extend out several years. It's not just for that one particular budget. That'll be two or three budgets out into the future, meaning two or three fiscal years. So for the next 3 years, they've decided on, you know, how benefits will be paid, what kind of raises they will get, and that affects, you know, that they're basically committing to something where they don't know what their revenues are going to be from the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are we're heading into a break here, okay. And when we come back, we're talking with Chuck Walker. We're going to start talking about some of the social issues and political challenges that he's been having to fight in his school district, and how they are related to what's happening throughout the country. This is Brent Duncan on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, and we'll be right back.
Take your lithium. Here's the Prozac, and don't forget your Ritalin. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's the school day in the USA. It's about this new age. You gotta turn the page. Give them a real education. Get them off the medication. No, they won't learn much about history, about the republic or democracy. They'll believe the earth is dying, yes, sirree. The magic indoctrination. Please cooperate in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family. They're linking their bodies, joining up with a gang. They're sociopaths going out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution. They're being set up just to be knocked down. Classrooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money bought you. So much for the revolution. So wake up, folks. Things aren't what they seem. It's the American nightmare. The end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. It's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivists taught at work in the home and play. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. You gotta turn the page. Give them a real education. It's a school day.
Welcome back to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan, broadcasting from the Radio Liberty Network in Monterey Bay. We are talking with Chuck Walker about some important issues that are going on a local level in the Scotts Valley School District, but also equating them to what's happening with important statewide issues that also affect our listeners around the country. You still with us, Chuck?
I'm still there.
All right, thank you. When we left, we were talking about some of the fiscal issues fiscal battles that you fought in the school district. And I think that it seems to be very common issues throughout school districts throughout the country. How about on the social side? What are you finding in the classrooms?
Well, in the classrooms, of course, you have the teachers with their opinions, political opinions, and other social, directions that they like to give the kids. That brought up that one of the teachers had put up a poster in their classroom that the parents found out about it and were objecting to it on a moral basis, that they didn't agree with the message that was being sent to their students as captive members of this classroom, and they mm-hmm. wanted it removed from the classroom and put into a common area. This is up at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the parent brought that forth as a concern and brought it to the superintendent and said, hey, this is a violation of my moral beliefs, and it's morally repugnant to me, and I think that since my child is forced to be in this classroom, that he shouldn't be forced to accept this type of indoctrination, and that it should be put into a common area where he can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
That particular parent was stonewalled for over 2 years, and pushed off and pushed off and never given an answer. The superintendent ended up leaving. That was right after we were elected. And then the whole issue kind of came to a head in February of this year. And that was, we were on there for, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first issue that we dealt with.
So let me make sure I understand what's going on. That a teacher had a personal interest and was reflecting that on with posters.
That's correct.
In some of those, would you say that those posters could be considered controversial in nature? Is that why they were a concern?
Definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
And so what you're saying is that teacher had a captive audience and was using the classroom basically as an opportunity to promote his or her personal interests to the students.
That's correct. And so, of course, the parent objected to that and filed several protests, and it went back and forth for a long time. And then it finally, we just finally said, okay, we need to get this out in the open. And so we had this big meeting, and it was a very one-sided meeting. They had teachers with planted people in there and people that weren't even in the school district coming from Santa Cruz, ACLU-type people. It was just... the whole thing was really a sham.
So people who had nothing to do with the school.
No, but
a number of special interest groups came.
Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what it was, those special interest groups that had some kind of a stake in it.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah,
done
I know.
That. Just simple things like stepping up in front of a group and saying, I'd like to propose that before you discuss these controversial issues with my children, that you notify me and make sure that I know what my child is hearing about, and so I can discuss these things with my children at home.
Right.
Just simply doing that brought out probably the same special interest groups. We're talking sexual interest groups, right, lifestyle interest groups, political interest groups, disparate groups like the United Nations Association of Monterey Bay and the Santa Cruz Action Network and all of these political interest groups working together to come and oppose one guy standing up and saying, you can teach whatever you want to teach as long as you tell me what you're going to teach to my child so I can talk to them about it.
Exactly, and that was his main objection, is that he wasn't notified and that it was being kept very kind of covert, you know, that an agenda was being promoted through his child or to his child,
mm-hmm,
without his knowledge or approval of it or disapproval of it. They never really asked for his any type of input from him.
Well, we're going to carry on with this conversation after the commercial break. This is Brent Duncan talking with Chuck Walker about some very important issues affecting family autonomy in the schools today. This is Brent Duncan, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio, and we'll be right back.
As a listener of tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show, you have exclusive access to our online audience participation center at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Here are just some of the value-added features you'll get by logging on while you're tuned in. Get free access to the research and articles that have contributed to tonight's show. See an important multimedia presentation titled The Philosophy of Liberty. Email the host with your comments. Get special discounts on featured books like the ever-popular Pocket Constitution. Register to receive a free subscription to AdvanceBulletin.net, which provides commentary and analysis on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. So get more. Log on while you're tuned in and advance freedom at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. You might be wondering if Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a liberal or a conservative organization. Are they left or right, Republican or Democrat? But you'll find that none of these one-dimensional labels applies to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, nor to many of its participants. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz dialogue doesn't take place in a left-right, liberal-conservative dialectic, but on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. Constitutional Republic.
To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Welcome back to Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio. This is Brent Duncan filling in for Michael Shaw on the Radio Liberty Network. We are talking with Chuck Walker. Chuck, you are on the school board at Scotts Valley. Is that how you would refer to yourself? It sounds to me like you're a family autonomy advocate or a family rights advocate.
Yeah, well, I look at it as a parental rights, but, you know, same thing. You know, you can term it any way you want. Once I got on the school board, I realized that there's other issues besides the finances that need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, family autonomy, as you call it, it inherently provides independence and freedom, but coming with that is responsibility and authority.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have one without the other.
Absolutely.
So if you take away the responsibility and authority, you lose the freedom and independence. And that's exactly what some of the policies that are in place were changed to my protest about specifically students leaving campus to obtain confidential medical services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a broad area. Confidential medical services doesn't just cover like the issue that Prop 73 is addressing, which is abortion, but also psychological evaluations, so a child can basically be removed from campus, brought to a psychologist, deemed that they are, ADD, and then put on Ritalin, all without notification or consent of the parent, which is just an absolute violation of parental sovereignty. And so what you have here is parents that they really don't know that this is a policy that they've enacted at the school.
Mm-hmm.
They did get a notice that got sent home that said, we have the option or the ability to do that, to release a child from campus without notifying you. But it's in a list of a whole bunch of other ones, and I suspect a lot of people just they glance over and they don't read, you know, okay, what does that mean? And so they sign at the bottom and they send it in. What that's doing, though, is that, and this was changed recently, the state ed code provides that schools can have a policy in place where they say, we will not notify the parents.
Mm-hmm.
If a child as young as 12 years old, this goes down to 7th grade, can leave this campus unbeknown to the parents, get a medical procedure done to them, maybe even die on the operating table, and they wouldn't know about it until afterwards. So, but what it does is it gives the authority to the school district, to the board specifically, that they can make policy whether they will notify the parent or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the policy was in place where we would notify the parent. And then this new superintendent came in, he reviewed the policies, and he goes, oh, no, this one's out of, you know, it's out of sync with what the state wants, because he brought up a letter from the Attorney General Bill Lockyer that said, it was an opinion, that said you cannot tell the parents. And so I said, it's an opinion, it doesn't matter, you know, it's just his opinion, it's not law, it's not a judicial decision, you know, we can do what we want, the state code gives us that latitude, and we are also supported by the 14th Amendment in the Constitution that protects our fundamental rights as parents, and there have been cases that set precedent for that. So I argued that, and then I argued that until I was blue in the face, and the other board members, you know, of course, it's a five-member board, so I'm just one out of five, and they overruled me, and the policy went forth where they would not notify the parents if their child was to leave for those medical services.
How have you found parent involvement in these issues in your area?
Well, you know, they did, you know, in Karen England, who was on, was she on previously?
Yes.
Yeah, she came down, she did some polling. They found that 85% of the parents wanted to be notified. 85%. And this is specifically in Scotts Valley, in the district. And so they did that polling, they brought it to the meeting, and they showed it to them, and they threw it out and said, oh, well, it's slanted, you know, the questions were slanted, even though they didn't see the questions. They said, oh, it's a slanted poll. Because you guys are pro-family, which is just unbelievable. So, you know, with that strong support from the parents, you know, they came out and came out, you know, to the meeting and said, listen, we want to be notified. We don't want our children leaving without being told where they're going, you know, for medical treatments. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's absurd, you know, that you can't give them an aspirin at school without getting a note from the parents.
Right.
So you're going to take them off and have a medical procedure done to them? It's crazy. It's opening up the district for lawsuits. And, you know, I thought maybe they would think of it in that term, but they wouldn't even agree on that. They felt that if we didn't, or if we did notify the parents, that it would be opening up the district for lawsuits. I just couldn't understand that logic. That made no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it's in studying the initiatives that are on the California ballot, it starts to make sense to me why schools seem to be so confident in having those types of policies, because there is such a strong political movement behind these types of basically anti-family policies. It's just like, you know, I look at these, say, if to me, I look at these initiatives and I say, they don't seem to be left to right Democrat versus Republican type issues. If you just state them based on their principles, say for example, if you do a survey or a poll in which you ask people, should parents have the right to know whether their child is having a major medical procedure?
Right.
Aren't you going to have 85% of the people saying yes?
Well, you know, I would hope that it'd be 100%.
I
kind of wonder who the other 15 are. You know, it's like, what are they thinking?
Yeah, or say, if I ask the question, should a principal be able to fire a predatory teacher?
Right. Something that's a no-brainer, parental rights type of question.
Yeah, but it gets down to, say, you know, I asked that question, should a principal be able to fire a predatory teacher? The thing is the current state or the status quo is no. That it is virtually impossible to fire a teacher once they've had tenure.
Oh, you're talking about Prop 74?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so now we put it in the political realm. And, of course, now there's all sorts of special interest groups who are opposed to that, especially with the unions and the lifestyle interest groups, et cetera.
Sure.
And, boy, I tell you, it looks like our governor has really ticked off a lot of these people that we run into on a local level.
Well, sure, yeah. Well, you know, there's something else that you have to understand, too, is that there's a lot of money involved in some of these things. For instance, medical procedures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and you start taking away their customers, which is, you know, I mean, that's the cold, hard reality of what they are,
mm-hmm.
and you're cutting into their bottom line. I mean, that's, you know, that's business.
Well, yeah, basic marketing 101.
Right.
You saturate the adult market with an adult product, and what else can you do? You go after the kids. You know, as they say, like you see all these commercials, anti-tobacco industry commercials, going after the tobacco companies for targeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.